like a child. Lonely voices come from busy people too disturbed to stop a little while. Lonely voices fill my dreams. Lonely voices haunt my memory. Lonely faces looking for the sunrise, just to find another busy day. Lonely faces all around the city, men afraid but too ashamed to pray. Lonely faces do I see. Judge turned my way. It looks like you're guilty. Now what do you say? I spoke up, Your Honor. I have no defense, but that's when mercy. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case, called to the stand God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin, forgiven when mercy walked in. There and I wondered, How could this be that someone so guilty had just been set free? My chains were broken, I felt born again. The moment mercy walked in, mercy walked in and pleaded my case, called to the stand God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin, forgiven when mercy walked in.
Disclaimer to make right off, okay? I'm not a public speaker, and I'm not a public singer. Yet here I am. Have mercy. Yeah, sounds good to shower. Thank you. So, I'm going to sing a song, Wayfaring Stranger. So for fun, I looked up Wayfaring Stranger. Wayfaring and Stranger. Wayfaring, says Mr. Webster, that it is a journey, mostly on foot. Okay, that's what a wayfarer does. He travels on foot. You know, if you're traveling on foot as opposed to in an airplane, you get a lot more up close and personal to what you're traveling through. Even in a car, if you're walking, you get a lot more idea of what you're going through. And then a stranger, Mr. Webster says, is a, you're in the house as someone, as a visitor. So you're in someone's house, it's not yours, and you're a visitor. So you are walking through a place that you're just visiting, okay? So with that background, I'm going to read you a verse out of 1 John chapter 5, 1 through 3, and it says, after this I looked, and there before me was a, that's not John. It's in here, I know it is, I've read it. Hey, there it is. No, it isn't. There it is. I told you I'm not a public speaker, okay, you know, have mercy. You're behind me the whole way, right? Okay. So, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commandments. And here is the best part of this verse. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. When you get to where you love to do God's will, and you don't have to worry about the commandments because that is just you. You know, you might skid into the guardrail once in a while, but you're not plowing into it headlong, okay? You know, you love to do God's will. When you get there, you know you're a wayfaring stranger. This world is not our home.
A poor wayfaring stranger, a traveling through this world of woe. But there's no sickness, no toil or danger in that bright land to which I go. My cross of self-denial and enter my home with God. I'm going there to see my Father. I'm going there no more to roam. I'm just to go. To go.
I can remember, they're all here today, actually, when my grandsons were somewhat littler. They used to love to walk along the edge of a curb or on a railroad iron or some such thing as that. And, you know, I'd reach out to grab their hand and, no, I can do it by myself, you know. And, of course, after a moment or two or sometimes a little bit longer, they'd always make a grab for something. And it's always good to know there's something right there to pick you up when you stumble and start to fall. As adults, we find it a little bit hard to admit, just like kids do, that we can't do it on our own. We think that we've got just what it takes to be able to make it work. But you know, my favorite story from the Bible is the one of the, what we call a prodigal son. The story of a young man, who said, "Dad, I'm ready to go on my own. Give me my inheritance and let me just scoot away from the farm and do it myself." And you know how it just didn't work out all that great for him. And before long, he decides, you know, "I'd rather be back at my dad's farm working as one of the servants than to be here feeding pigs." And so he headed home, and what should he find to his surprise but his dad has been waiting all the time there on the hill, running to meet him the moment he shows up. And accepting him immediately right back into the family. And that is just exactly what we all need, even though we may not have come to the realization of it sometimes. We recognize eventually that we can't even walk without the hand of God there to hold us.
That number one would always be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life's sinking sand, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley's too wide. Down on my knees I've learned to stand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I thought I could do a lot on my own. I thought I could make it all alone. Thought of myself as a mighty big man, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. No, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain's too high and the valley's too wide. Down on my knees, I've learned to stand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Think I'll make Jesus my all in all when I'm in trouble. His name I'll call. If I don't trust in him, I'd be less than a man. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
without you holding my hand. The mountains too high and the valleys too wide. Down on my knees, I've learned to stand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Down on my knees, I've learned to stand. And Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
Husband to his wife, for standing there beside me through the hard years of my life. Shall I bring you diamonds? Shall I bring you furs? Say the word and it's yours. And the wife said, I won't take less than your love, sweet love. No, I won't take than your love. All the comforts of the world would never be enough, and I won't take less than your love.
How much do I owe you? To the mother said the son, for all that you have taught me in the days that I was young. Shall I bring expensive blankets to cast upon your bed, and a pillow for to rest your weary head? The mother said, I won't
take less than your love, sweet love. No, I won't take less than your love. All the comforts of the world could never be enough, and I won't take less than your love.
How much do I owe you, said the man to his Lord, for giving me this day and every day that's gone before? Shall I build a temple? Shall I make a sacrifice? Tell me, Lord, and I will pay the price. And the Lord said, it won't
take less than your love, sweet love. No, I won't take less than your love. All the treasures of the world could never be enough, and I won't take less than your love. No, I won't take less than your love.
So how many here might consider yourself a Christian? Well, there's at least a few. I do. How many of you feel like you're doing a really good job at that? I don't see as many hands. What's up with that? So let me just tell you a little story, okay? So
My name is Rick, by the way. And many years ago, when I was attending Walla Walla College, before it was university, and I went as a student missionary to a little tiny island out in the Pacific called Namu in the Marshall Islands. Namu was on Namu Atoll, so they called it Namu Namu. Walla Walla to Namu Namu. I don't know. But I was there to do to be a teacher for a year. And here I was in between my freshman and sophomore years in college, not completely qualified. But they prepared us a little bit. But here I was on this little island, about a mile and a half long, by the way, about a half mile wide. That's about as big as a Walla Walla Airport's runway. Okay. Get a little picture of that. A little wider than that, but and I felt a little bit inadequate, as you can imagine. I mean, there was very few resources on the island because it was my partner and I, another American, who taught the school, the Adventist school. There was a public school on the island. I had all of grades 1 through 4. He had all of grades 5 through 8. And our principal was about 35 miles away on another island, and it might as well have been about 200 miles away for all the easiness that it was to get there. Because the only way on and off the island was by boat. I did an awful lot of praying that year, an awful lot of trusting that year, awful lot of making mistakes, awful lot of trying to do better. God promises that when we put our trust in Him and we keep looking to Him, we will keep finding new light. We will keep getting better. And a verse that became very dear to me when I was there on the island was in Philippians chapter 1, and I guess verse 6 is where I'll start. It says, "And I am sure that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Wow. If we can only trust.
When I am down and oh my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burden be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. There is no life, no life without hunger. Each restless heart beats so imperfectly. But when you come and I am filled with wonder, sometimes I think I glimpse eternity. I am strong when I am
embrace me all to more than I can be.
Thank you. you for coming.